وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with Riyad al-Salihin of Imam Nawawi رحمه الله, then we are still on Kitab al-Fadail, the Book of Virtues, and the chapters connected to fasting. And we reach chapter 219, باب النهي عن تقدم رمضان بصوم بعد نصف شعبان إلا لمن وصله بما قبله أو وافق عادة له بأن كان عادته صوم الاثنين والخميس فوافقه. The chapter of the prohibition of preceding Ramadan with a fast that is performed after half of Sha'ban, except for a person who is joining it to something which came before it, or that it conforms with a custom of his, such that it is from his custom that he fasts on Mondays and Thursdays, and this conforms with it. So the first hadith in the chapter is hadith 1232. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يتقدمن أحدكم رمضان بصوم يوم أو يومين إلا أن يكون. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يتقدمن أحدكم رمضان بصوم يوم أو يومين إلا أن يكون رجل كان يصوم صومه فليصوم ذلك اليوم. متفق عليه. From Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that he said, let not one of you precede Ramadan by fasting a day or 2 days before, unless it is a man who used to fast his normal fast, then in that case let him fast that day. Agreed upon. As for who reports this hadith, then just as Imam Nawawi rahimahullah said, it's indeed agreed upon, reported both by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. You'll find it in the Sahih of Al-Bukhari in Kitab al-Sawm, the Book of Fasting. And in fact, all the references in this chapter to all the books of hadith, they all bring the narrations in the Book of Fasting. So there's no need to mention the Kitab, the book which they bring it in. It will always be the Book of Fasting unless stated otherwise. So Imam Al-Bukhari brings it there. Chapter 14, Ramadan should not be preceded by fasting a day, nor 2 days. Hadith number 1914, and reported by Muslim in his Sahih, Hadith 1082. Also reported by all of the four Sunan, Abu Dawood, chapter 11, with regard to one who joins Sha'ban along with Ramadan, Hadith 2335. Obviously Sha'ban referring to the 8th month of the year, and Ramadan being the 9th month of the year. So the chapter heading that he gave, with regard to one who joins Sha'ban along with Ramadan. Also reported by Tirmidhi, chapter 2, what occurs with regard to do not precede the month with a fast, Hadith 684 and 685. And reported by Imam al-Nasa'i, chapter 31, preceding before the month of Ramadan, Hadith 2172 and 2173. And reported by Ibn Majah, chapter 5, what occurs with regard to the prohibition of preceding Ramadan with a fast, except for one who fasts a normal fast, which it conforms with. hadith 1650. And also reported by Imam Ahmad, so it's a hadith that's reported by all of the seven, Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and Ahmad, and all of the four Sunnah. Also reported by Imam al-Bayhaqi, Ibn Abi Shayba, al-Darimi, Abu Awana, Ibn Hibban, and al-Baghawi in Sharh al-Sunnah. And as for the one main phrase in the hadith to make a mention of, the saying of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَا يَتَقَدَّمَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ Ramadan, let not one of you precede Ramadan. With regard to this phrase, Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar said in his explanation of Al-Bukhari, Fathul al-Bari, meaning, do not precede Ramadan by fasting a day or 2 days, which he counts as being from it, as a precaution, ihtiyatan. He fasts a day, Ramadan's going to come, so just a day, what he thinks will be a day before, or 2 days before, he fasts 1 day or 2 days before, as a precaution in case that is Ramadan. I'll just repeat what he said, meaning, do not precede Ramadan by fasting a day, or 2 days, which he counts as being from it, with the intention of taking precaution. Because fasting it is connected to a ru'ya, is connected to seeing the crescent moon. So there is no need at all to take on unnecessary burdens. As for the points of benefit to be taken from the hadith, then amongst them are the following 4 points of benefit. Firstly, that which Imam Nawawi said in his explanation of Muslim. It contains a clear statement of the forbiddance of preceding Ramadan by fasting 1 day or 2 days. For a person who is not doing so in accordance with a habit of his, or is not making it a continuation of something before it. So if he is not making it a continuation of something before, a continuing a fast that he's already doing, nor does it conform to a normal habit of his, then it is haram, it is forbidden. This is what is correct in our madhab. Imam Shafi'i was one of the famous scholars of the Shafi'i madhab. So this is what is correct in our madhab. On the same point, Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Hafidhullah, he said in his explanation of Abu Dawood, in the transcribed tape lectures, he said, if a person normally fasts, such as a fast of Monday or Thursday, and Thursday or Monday conforms to the last day of Sha'ban, then this is permissible and legislated. In that case, it's permissible and legislated for him to fast. And there occurs that which indicates this. But as for if his intent in fasting is to take a precaution in case it is Ramadan, then this is not permissible. And that is what the prohibition occurs with regard to at the start of the hadith. As for the second of the, and it's 3 points of benefit, not four, it's 3 points of benefit here. The second point of benefit is that which Al-Hafidh Ibn Hajar said in Fath al-Bari. He said, the hadith contains a refutation of those who hold starting to fast before the crescent moon has been seen, such as the Rafida, like the Rafida Shia, those who fast before the moon's even been seen. They hold that's what's correct to do, to be fast even before the moon is seen. So as he said, Hafidh Ibn Hajar, this hadith contains a refutation of those who hold starting to fast before the sighting of the moon, such as the Rafida. As for the third point of benefit, then Al-Qurtubi said in his explanation of Muslim, Al-Mufhim, this prohibition is because of what is to be feared from adding to the month of Ramadan. And it is one of the evidences for Malik, for Imam Malik, for his saying of Saddu Dhara'i'. This is a proof, one of the evidences for Imam Malik in his support of the principle of Saddu Dhara'i', blocking off roots to evil. Just briefly, meaning the principle that Imam Malik and others held of Saddu Dhara'i', meaning that certain things would not be prohibited in themselves. But however, they are prohibited because of what they lead to. That they lead to something prohibited, so the means also becomes, I mean, the prohibited to block off that route to evil. So as Al-Qurtubi said, this hadith, just repeat what he said, this prohibition is on account of what is feared with regard to adding to the month of Ramadan. And it is from the evidences of Malik for his saying of Saddu Dhara'i', blocking off routes which lead to something prohibited. As for the next hadith, hadith 1233, وَعَنِ ابْنِ عَبَّاسٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَا تَصُومُوا قَبْلَ رَمَضَانِ صُومُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ وَأَفْطِرُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ فَإِنْ حَالَتْ دُونَهُ غَيَايَةٌ فَأَكْمِلُوا 30 يَوْمًا رواه الترمذي وقال حديث حسن صحيح الغياية بالغين المؤجمة وبالياء المثنات من تحت المكررة وهي السحابة وهي السحابة. And from Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما, who said, Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, do not fast prior to Ramadan. Fast when it is seen, and desist from fasting when it is seen. And if clouds cover it, if clouds conceal it, then complete 30 days. Reported by At-Tirmidhi, and he said, the hadith is hasanun sahih, good, authentic. Then Imam An-Nawawi explained the word al-ghayaya. He said, with a ghain, with a dot, and with a ya, which has two dots beneath, and which is repeated, it has two yas, and it means clouds. As for who reports this hadith, then the hadith, just as Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah said, is indeed reported by At-Tirmidhi in his Sunan, chapter 5, what occurs with regard to fasting is when the crescent moon is seen, and breaking the fast is also on account of it. Hadith 688. Hadith also reported by Abu Dawood, and he brings it in his Sunan, Book of Fasting, chapter 7. Whoever said, if it is clouded over for you, then fast 30 days. And the wording of the narration of Abu Dawood is slightly longer, so we'll mention the wording of Abu Dawood. His wording is that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not precede the month by fasting a day, nor 2 days, unless it is something which one of you fasts. And do not begin fasting until you see it. Then fast until you see it. And if clouds conceal it from you, then complete the number of 30. Then break the fast. And the month may be 29. Hadith number 2003. 327. 2327. Also reported by Imam al-Nasa'i in his Sunan in two places, both in the Book of Fasting. Firstly, Hadith 2129, chapter 13, that is, chapter 2129. And reported by al-Nasa'i, chapter 37, Fasting the Day of Doubt. Siyamu yawmi shakk, Fasting the Day of Doubt. And this narration here, in chapter 37, Fasting the Day of Doubt, Imam al-Nasa'i brings a narration, and he brings a story behind this hadith being narrated by the Tabi'i. And it's a narration of two of the Tabi'is, one narrating from another. So he brings his chain of narration, Imam al-Nasa'i brings his chain of narration, so we'll mention the wording, the discussion that was held by the two of the Tabi'in in the chain. So he narrates it from Simak, with Simak ibn Harb. He said, from Simak, who said, I entered upon Ikrimah. Obviously, Ikrimah, famous student of, from the Tabi'in, famous student of Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhu. So Simak said, I entered upon Ikrimah, upon a day which was a problem. Was it from Ramadan or from Sha'ban? Does it mean referring to the last day, the 30th day of Sha'ban, when it was cloudy or something? So he said, I entered upon Ikrimah on a day which was problematic. Was it from Ramadan or from Sha'ban? And he, Ikrimah, he was eating bread and vegetables and milk. So he said to me, come. So I said, I am fasting. He said, so he swore an oath by Allah, you will certainly break your fast. So I said, Subhanallah, how perfect is Allah, twice. But then I saw that he was swearing and he would not make any exception. So I went forward and I said, give me what you have. So he said, I heard Ibn Abbas say, and then he narrated the hadith. Hadith 2189. Also reported by others, reported by Imam Ahmad, reported by Imam Malik, and by Al-Bayhaqi, Ibn Hibban, Ad-Darimi, Ibn Abi Shayba, Abdul Razzaq, Ibn Khuzaymah, and by Imam Baghawi in Sharh Sunnah. As for the level of this hadith, then Shaykh Al-Albani said with regard to this hadith that it is sahih, authentic. As we already heard, and Nawawi mentioned that Tirmidhi said the hadith is Hasan Sahih, and likewise Shaykh Albani declared the hadith Sahih, also authentic. As for some of the phrases in the hadith to mention, then firstly, the saying of Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La tathumu qabla Ramadan, do not fast prior to Ramadan. Then Ibn Allan said in his explanation of Riyad al-Salihin, Dalil al-Falihin, with regard to this phrase, do not fast before Ramadan, he said. This, even though it includes all of Sha'ban, I mean this wording, do not fast before Ramadan, and obviously the month before Ramadan is Sha'ban, the whole of the month of Sha'ban. So he made a point, Ibn Allan said, this, even though it includes Sha'ban, all of it, but what is meant by it is from the second half of it, on account of the hadith which comes after it, in the next hadith in the chapter. We don't understand it means the whole of Sha'ban, rather just the second half. As for the phrase, Sumu li ru'yatihi, fast when it is seen, that again Ibn Allan said, meaning when the hilal, when the crescent moon of Ramadan is seen. He's saying, وَأَفْتِرُوا لِرُؤْيَتِهِ, and desist from fasting, and stop fasting when it is seen. Again Ibn Allan said, meaning the hilal, the crescent moon of Shawwal. Crescent moon of Shawwal, in the 10th month, the month after Ramadan, Shawwal. He's saying فَإِنْ حَالَتْ دُونَهُ غَيَايَةٌ, and if clouds conceal it from you. And with regard to this phrase and the word غَيَايَة, and some of them narrate it with a ba in place of the second ya, and with regard to this word غَيَايَةٌ, Al-Hafidh Ibn al-Athir said in his book Jami al-Usul, the book where he gathers the narrations of all of the six books of hadith, except for Ibn Majah, in place of which he gathers the narrations of Muwatta Imam Malik. So that book, Jami al-Usul, Ibn al-Athir said, غَيَايَةٌ, with two ya's, with dots upon them underneath, he said, it means everything which shades a person. غَيَايَةٌ means everything which shades a person above his head, like the clouds. Like the clouds. And as we saw already, Imam Nawawi, that's how he explained this hadith, meaning that in this case it means the clouds. If clouds conceal it from you, the crescent moon from you. As for the phrase فَأَكْمِلُوا, in that case فَأَكْمِلُوا ثَلَاثِينَ يَوْمًا, then in that case, then complete 30 days. Then Ibn Allan said, meaning, so do not fast in that case until you have completed Sha'ban like that. I mean, that's 30 days. And break the fast when you have completed the number of Ramadan likewise. I mean, obviously referring to the case that if you can't, you haven't seen the crescent moon, it's clouded over for you, then complete the number of 30. As for the points of benefit that can be taken from the hadith, then amongst them are the following three points of benefit. Firstly, that which Imam al-Baghawi quotes as a chapter heading for the hadith in Sharh al-Sunnah, that he said, the obligation of fasting when the crescent moon is seen. The second point of benefit is that which Imam al-Bayhaqi quotes as a chapter heading for the hadith in his Sunan, that fasting is when the crescent moon is seen, or when the number of 30 days has been completed. And the final, third point of benefit is that which Sheikh Muhammad al-Ethiopi said in his explanation of the Sunan of al-Nasa'i, al-Dhakhirat al-Uqba, that he said, the hadith shows the prohibition of fasting the day of doubt, Yamushak. And what's referred to by Yamushak, meaning the day, as is indicated in the hadith, the day, the 30th day of Sha'ban, when it's cloudy. The night before the last day of Sha'ban, when it's clouded over. So it's a doubt, is the moon present or is it not present? It can't be seen. It's a doubt. Is it, has Ramadan begun or has it not begun? So the point that Sheikh al-Ethiopi made is the hadith contains a proof for the prohibition of fasting the day of doubt, except for that where there is an established exception mentioned by the bringer of the legislation, which is a fast for a person who has a fast by habit, for it is permissible for him to fast it. I mean, that particular day, it falls on a day when he has a habit of fasting that particular day. As for the next hadith that we take as the last hadith, even though it's not the last hadith in the chapter, but hadith 1234, وَعَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا بَقِيَ نِصْفٌ مِّنْ شَعْبَانَ فَلَا تَصُومُوا رَوَاهُ تِرْمِذِي وَقَالَ حَدِيثٌ حَسَنٌ صَحِيحٌ. And from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when half of Sha'ban remains, then do not fast. Reported by Tirmidhi, and he said the hadith is Hasan, Sahih, good, authentic. With regard to this hadith, then the hadith is reported, just as Imam Nawawi rahimahullah said, it's reported by Tirmidhi in his Sunan, Book of Fasting, chapter 38, what occurs with regard to the dislike of fasting in the second half of Sha'ban for the reason of Ramadan. Hadith 738. And the hadith is also reported by Abu Dawood. And a number of them have slight variations in the wording, the meaning being more or less the same, but slight variations in the wording. So it's also reported by Abu Dawood, chapter 12, with regard to the dislike of that. He brings a chapter, chapter 11, is joining Ramadan, joining Sha'ban to Ramadan. Then he brings a chapter 12, the dislike of that, meaning the dislike of joining Sha'ban to Ramadan. And the wording, the hadith number is 2337. Also reported by Ibn Majah, chapter 5, what occurs with regard to the prohibition of preceding Ramadan with a fast, except for what a person who fasts a fast by custom and it conforms to it. Hadith 1651. Also reported by others besides, reported by Imam Ahmad, Al Bayhaqi, Al Darimi, Ibn Abi Shayba, Abdul Razak, Ibn Hibban, Abu Awana, and others. And with regard to the authenticity of this hadith, then as we just heard, Imam Tirmidhi said, after reporting the hadith is Hasan Sahih. And the reality is that there is a great deal of disagreement, or there is a number of scholars who hold the hadith to be authentic, and a number of scholars, right from earliest times, who hold the hadith is not authentic. So some of those who write in this regard, some of the explainers, they mention a list of scholars who declared the hadith to be not authentic, such as Imam Ahmad, and Abu Zur'a, and Imam al-Nasa'i, and others besides, a whole list of scholars who hold the hadith, this hadith is not authentic. But on the other hand, there are a whole list of scholars from earliest times, Imam al-Tirmidhi, as we saw, and others who held the hadith is authentic. So this not being the place to go too deeply into it, but just to mention something that Sheikh al-Albani mentioned, and Sheikh al-Albani declared the hadith sahih, authentic. And in his checking of Abu Dawood, he said, giving something of the reason why others hold it not to be authentic, so he said, I say, its chain of narration is sahih, authentic, to the standard of Muslim. And it was declared authentic by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Hibban. And it was used as proof by Ibn Hazm. And it was declared strong by Ibn al-Qayyim. Then he said, after some speech, and it has been declared to have a weakness which will not actually affect it. And the weakness he's referring to here is the narrator Al-Ala ibn Abdurrahman. This narrator Al-Ala ibn Abdurrahman, who narrates it from his father, who narrates it from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So the weakness that they focus upon is, or the alleged weakness, is this narrator, Al-Ala ibn Abdurrahman. Sheikh Albani continued and he said, Al-Bayhaqi said, Abu Dawood said, Ahmad ibn Hanbal said, this hadith is munkar. This hadith is not authentic, weak or contrary to what's authentic. Not authentic. He said, Abdurrahman, meaning Abdurrahman ibn Mahdi, would not narrate it. Sheikh Albani himself said, commenting upon those who say this hadith is weak, because this narrator, Al-Ala ibn Abdurrahman, Sheikh Albani said, I say, and in my view, that is not sufficient to declare this hadith weak, because Imam Ahmad himself said about this narrator, Al-Ala ibn Abdurrahman, thiqa, reliable. I have not heard anyone mention anything bad about him. Sheikh Albani said, and he was declared reliable by a whole group of others besides. And he was used as proof by Muslim. Also, from those who hold this hadith is authentic, were Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, as occurs in Al-Hulal Al-Ibriziyah, and elsewhere. But Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he held this hadith to be authentic, his chain of narration to be strong. And from those who disagreed with that, as we'll see next time inshaAllah, the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he held that this hadith is not authentic. Wallahu a'lam. So on the basis of its being accepted as authentic, then with regard to one phrase in the hadith you mentioned, the saying of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَلَا تَصُومُوا, that when half of Sha'ban remains, فَلَا تَصُومُوا, then do not fast. And Mullah Ali al-Qari said, in his explanation of Mishkat al-Mirqat, he said, meaning, without its being joined to something from the first half, or without any reason from the reasons that have been mentioned. As some of the others mention reasons such as occurs in the other hadith, a person having that as being part of a normal fast of his, certain days that he normally fasts anyway. So just to repeat what Mullah Ali al-Qari said, meaning without joining that to anything from the first half, or without any reason from the aforementioned reasons. As for the points of benefit that can be taken from the hadith, then the one main point of benefit, firstly from the one, that Imam Siddiq Hasan Khan said, in his explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, Fathul Allam, he said, the hadith is a proof for the prohibition of fasting in Sha'ban after the halfway point. However, this is restricted by the hadith unless that conforms to a fast which he normally fasts, as has preceded. And the scholars disagree in that regard. So many of the Shafi'i scholars hold that it is haram, forbidden, to fast in the second half because of this prohibition. Or it is said, rather it is disliked. Yukrah means makruh, disliked to do so. Except for a day or two before Ramadan, which is forbidden. And then he mentions other sayings as well. He mentions the sayings of those who allow this fast, or who say, can be recommended, if it falls under something recommended. He quotes other sayings as well. On the same point, Shaykh al-Albani said in his notes to Subul al-Salam that Imam al-San'ani in Subul al-Salam, he brings two or three sayings with regard to this hadith and the scholar's understanding of it. Shaykh al-Albani commented and said, the best saying is the first saying, meaning that it is disliked, makruh, after the halfway point. And it is forbidden, haram, before Ramadan by a day or 2 days. Meaning fasting after the halfway point of Sha'ban is something is disliked. And as for a day or two before Ramadan, then forbidden. On the same point, Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, rahimahullah, he said, as occurs in Al-Hulal Al-Ibriziya, the notes that one of his students have put together from his explanations of Sahih al-Bukhari, that Shaykh bin Baz, rahimahullah, he said, as for if a person fasts all of Sha'ban, or most of it, then there is no harm. I mean, there's no harm in fasting the second half. And if he's going to fast all of Sha'ban, or most of it, he said, in that case, there's no harm. If he has begun it before the halfway point. Because of the hadith, and then he mentions this hadith, when the halfway point of Sha'ban comes, then do not fast. Reported by Ahmad and the compilers of the Sunan with a good chain of narration. And just as a final point, obviously those who hold the hadith to be authentic, rather those who hold the hadith not to be authentic, hold the hadith as weak, and they don't see a problem in fasting beyond the halfway point of the month. They hold this something permissible, they hold this hadith to be weak. And we'll continue the chapter with the last hadith and what follows it next time, inshaAllah. Walhamdulillah. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك.